You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Now, I want to introduce my dear friend and brother and our senior pastor, Rick Soto.
Thank you. All right. Hey, good morning, church. How are you? Really good to be with everyone this morning. One of our favorite phrases that we like to say in this church, is open your Bibles. So go ahead and take a digital device if you need it. We have an app that will be of great help to you, or you can just listen along. We're going to be in a book of the Bible, New Testament, called 1 Peter, and we've been going through a series here. There's been some prior teachings. I'm going to backtrack a little bit this morning and do something called a deep dive, and we're going to look at a deep dive as we talk about Peter's spiritual secrets. Peter is actually one of Jesus' apostles. He was with them in his earthly life. He takes up a lot of air in the New Testament. He's a fascinating character. He has some great things to say to us this morning. And so we are actually going to get after it. Speaking here now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Again, we're going to talk about some spiritual secrets this morning. You're going to want to listen to this without a doubt. But the Bible says this: therefore, preparing your minds for what does your Bible say? For action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy. For it is, since it is written, you shall be holy. Going to go after this very interesting subject matter, and I'm confident you're going to love it. So let's pray this morning together. Pray with me if you will. Lord Jesus, thank you for being mighty God, strong to save. Thank you for amazing grace. Thank you for a continual flow from your throne and from your heart of love for your people. And now, God, we turn to you, asking for your help to understand your word and to have it activated inside us, that you would truly be our God and we would be your people. And so come now, we pray, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and come upon your word. And can you say it out loud to me, all God's people say?
Amen.
Awesome, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so we're going to talk about Peter's spiritual secret. Listen, Peter has a spiritual secret to say to everyone this morning, wherever you're at, about some really important things. This is a man who denied God in the most serious of ways, and saw a dynamic recovery in his own heart and his life, and would go on to be used by God greatly. And he has something to say to us this morning. Now look at the subject matter. The subject matter is holiness. And I'm not sure that we wake up every morning and go, I can't wait to read in the Bible about holiness. And yet, as we're going to talk about this spiritual secret, you're going to hunger, I believe you're going to hunger and thirst for it in the most wonderful and wonderful of way. And I've got some things to tell you about holiness that I believe you're going to enjoy. And so here's one thing I want you to know about Peter's spiritual secret. Here's the one thing that he's going to talk about here. Here's the thing that I want you to understand, is that holiness is a blessing and a total relief. Can you say amen? Holiness is a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's not about morality, though it includes that. It's certainly not moralism. It has nothing to do with perfection, actually, except for God and his glory and his holiness working in our lives. Holiness is actually a blessing, and it's a total relief. I mean, it is an absolute, absolute total relief, holiness. Now listen, why is holiness a total relief? Because bad behavior is not good. Okay, so do you have bad behavior, yes or no? Yeah, okay, okay, some of you go, yeah, okay, well, not really. I don't really want to admit, I'm in church today, but I don't really want to admit anything before God. Now, do you have bad behavior? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do. In some way, shape, or form, we're all part of the human race. And so there are things. Some for some people are actually really serious. I hope that's nobody here, but if that is anybody here, then there's tremendous deliverance for you and there's tremendous hope for you. Other things are more what we might call pedestrian, and yet they're still significant. So you have bad behavior. Holiness is a blessing and a total relief from bad behavior. Holiness was a deliverance from all of that. Do you have bad thoughts? Oh, it's a holiday weekend. Maybe we were out last night. Go on, church, you have bad thoughts, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, you have bad thoughts. Bad thoughts are a terror. Do bad thoughts sometimes terrorize you?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, they do. Holiness is a relief from all of that. It's a blessing. In other words, the covenant, new covenant promise of Jesus, the new covenant promise of Jesus from the cross is that his holiness will work inside you and actually bring a relief, take away the terror of all those bad thoughts, all those things that dominate you, all those things that depress you, all those things that just pull you down and pull you down, which frankly are lies and they're accusations and they're guilt trips. Some are self-imposed, some come from demons. Some comes from memory past by which God has said, the past is done, and then something comes and brings that up again and again. Holiness is a deliverance from those bad thoughts. Do you want some holiness? Oh, yeah, you do. How about a bad heart? A bad heart, soul sickness, deep inside, all the complexities of that, all the things that break the heart and injure the heart and wound the heart, all the things that cause depression in the soul. Holiness is a deliverance from all of that. So now do you understand why I say one of Peter's spiritual secrets is that holiness is a blessing and a total relief. Holiness is a blessing and a total relief. It's a total relief from bad thoughts. Praise the Lord. It's a total relief from bad behavior. Praise the Lord. It's a total relief from the things inside our hearts and our soul that breaks us. Praise the Lord. Holiness is this great blessing and relief. Holiness breaks every bondage in the heart, soul, mind, and spirit. It breaks everything. And so now here, as we started out in verse 13, there's that transition phrase, therefore, preparing your minds for action, preparing your minds for action. So the first thing I want to talk about this morning in terms of Peter's spiritual secret is not just that holiness is a blessing and a total relief. By the way, here's what I want you to do. We're going to get a little crazy this morning. Get a little Pentecostal. We're going to get a little happy. Okay, are you ready for some happiness? I want you to tell your neighbor that holiness is a blessing and a relief. Go. Yeah, some of you said that reluctantly, but that's okay. I got it. We're going to help faith in just a moment. So listen, as we look at verse 13 here, holiness in terms of Peter's spiritual secret, holiness brings about a mental revolution. You see the phrase, preparing your mind for action, being sober-minded. One of the blessings that is going to come about, one of the reliefs that come about through holiness is that holiness brings about a mental revolution. Isn't that great news? That is great news. It brings about a mental revolution. Holiness will actually begin to change how you think about words and how you think about things you say. Let me give you a couple examples right here. For example, we will say things like this. We will say something that should be firm and that we should be convinced about. We'll say, what do you think about that? What do you think about it? We'll say, well, I guess so. Are you going to get there on time? Are you going to keep your word? Are you going to do X, whatever it is, fill in the blank, and we'll say, well, I guess so. Seriously, that's all you got? Yeah, we'll do things like that. And then we'll say little phraseologies like sort of. You know, how do you feel about that? Sort of. Wait, there's no backbone in you? There's no conviction in you? What do you mean, sort of? Yeah, sort of. We'll say things like sort of, you know. And then we'll say things like maybe. And we're often so vague. Listen, let me change these words of guess so, sort of, and maybe from the spiritual context and talk about the mental revolution that is so firm here in the scriptures that is a beautiful relief and such a blessing, because you're going to sit here and say, can I be holy as God is holy? Yes, I will because he can. I will because he can. I will because he can. So can I go and live a life? Can I overcome all the deficits in my life? Can I overcome all the insecurities in my life? I will because he can. Can I face every sickness and issue in my life, everything that scares me? I will, because he can. Am I going to actually be able to experience forgiveness of sin and the removal of guilt in my life? I will, because he can. See, holiness is this, it's an imperative based on an indicative, if you like grammar. What it is that it's this command that actually will happen based on a stable truth in God. And so the indicative is that God is holy. He will put his holiness in you. We'll chase that in a moment. And it becomes an affirmation and an affirmative. So I will be holy, or I will overcome all the things in my life because he can. So my words change. It's not I guess so, sort of, maybe, or anything else that might be vague. It is I will. Are you going to walk with God? Are you going to walk with God? Are you going to walk with God? Yeah, I will. Because he can. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust God? I will. Because he can. Am I going to open up the Bible, read it, and do what it says? I will, because he can. There is absolutely nothing that the scriptures will lay in front of me. There's actually nothing I'll face in my life of which I will have the transformation away from being the victim into being the victor. I am the victor, not because of my flesh, not because I'm so talented, not because I have all these great things going on, but because him who can never be victimized, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, is at work in our lives. And so I will because he can. All that language is a pivot and a change. It's a word change. And holiness brings about a mental revolution that begins to work and work and work in our lives. In that same verse 13, I want you to see something, and we got to do a little bit of a Bible study to kind of understand the dynamics of it. For again, I've read this several times, preparing your minds for actions and being sober-minded. And then this next phrase, and set your hope fully on the hope that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have to talk about this word revelation, because revelation means that there's something you didn't see, but now you see. That's what it means. There's something that you didn't see, but now you actually see. It's as if when you have a pair of glasses on, and then you're seeing through them darkly, but then you take them off, and now you see through them clearly. So we have to understand that there's a revelation that's actually going to come to us. And so this revelation that is actually going to come to us is going to come through various examples of the scriptures. So for example, the first example I want to give you as a revelation is found in Exodus chapter 3. I will just explain this story to you, but just know it for your own study that you can look at Exodus chapter 3. Because in Exodus chapter 3, there's a guy by the name of Moses. Everybody say Moses. Okay, so Moses is actually at the mountain, and he's looking at this fire that's in a bush, but the bush is not burning up. And he sees that it's a unique revelation. He goes, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to walk over there and check it out. And then he walks over there, and this bush and this fire calls his name, Moses, Moses. And he stops and he begins to realize, whoa, there's something going on here. There's something going on. Look at that bush. And it's burning, but it's not burning up. And you know my name? And what is going on? And what is said there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 and on? What is said there? What is said there? What is said there? You are standing on holy ground. You take your shoes off. You be careful. You're before me. And so Moses, he's no fool. He takes his shoes off, and God's going to have a very serious conversation with him because there's something going on. And so he tells him that you are actually standing on holy ground. Now look at, if we went today and we ever found that bush, we never would, it's not important, but if we found that bush, would it be holy in that same way? No, the answer is no. So why was that area holy? Why was that area holy? What made it holy? What made it holy? What made the inside of the temple holy back in the day? What makes anything holy? What makes this book holy? What makes our lives holy is God's presence. And that's, my friend, would be a really good note to write down today. Tap it into your phone, your digital device, or write that down. Because what makes something holy is that God showed up. What makes something holy is that his presence came. And so with Moses, and this applies in the New Covenant, Moses is there, and he's before this presence of God. And God tells him, go this far and no more, because you are actually near me now. You're actually near me now. And so you're actually on holy ground. And so one of the things that's going to happen with related to holiness, one of its blessings is this nearness to God. And I believe every single person born on planet Earth, because we're born in God's image and likeness, every single person wants to be close to God. Every single person, even people who I'll talk to who don't confess God and don't confess Christ and will argue with me back and forth and we will have a conversation, they want to be close to God. If it's possible to be close to God, we want to be close to God, and it is possible to be close to God. So here, just an example, Exodus chapter 3, Moses being told, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground because you're actually in the presence of God. I'm going to give you another reference here related to how the spiritual secret works and how holiness works. We're going to reference Isaiah 6, verse 2. Where again, I'll just simply tell the story. I'll let you have that reference for Bible study later, but Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. So this is a vision. So we're now just fast-forwarding a lot of history here. We're about 1,000 years difference between Moses and Isaiah. And so we're here with Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 2, and he gets a vision. He gets a vision of this temple. He gets a vision of this temple. And there's this really bizarre creature. We don't know what else to say, a seraphim angel. And it's only described to us as the ability to fly, figure this out, but have wings that cover the eyes and cover the feet, but can still fly and can still pick up with its feet these like a tongue, and this coal comes out. So this is a vision that Isaiah has of the Lord. He's high and lifted up. He's high and lifted up. And so now this thing's going to come and pick up from the burning coals of the altar, from the altar, this coal is going to, again, it's a vision, and it's going to come, and it's going to touch his mouth. Now, Isaiah didn't ask for this. He didn't sit there and, you know, it's not like an altar call. Yes, I want to come get Jesus today, you know. And it's not like a prayer request. Oh, would you pray with me to be closer to God or something like that. He didn't ask for this. He just has this vision. God says, guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to have one of my angels, this creature, is going to pick up this coal and it's going to come and it's going to touch your mouth. It's going to touch you. It touches him. It touches his tongue. And all of a sudden, there's a transfer now of God's holiness over his whole being. And you know what the text says there in Isaiah? Chapter 6, verse 2 and on, your sin, it's been taken away. I did it, God says. I came upon you with a gift and a blessing. Remember I told you that holiness is a relief and a blessing? I came upon you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't know you needed it. I opened your mind for a revelation to see it, and I came and I touched you. I actually touched you. And my holiness, which was emanating from my throne, came upon you. And I'm just giving you this spiritual way of understanding it. He's really saying to Isaiah, I'm touching you. And now your mouth is going to be open. In Isaiah's case, he's going to be a prophet. And he's going to speak about the great oracles of the coming of Jesus Christ. And then his whole being is going to experience this absolute, absolute transformation of the forgiveness of all of his sin. Because of the holiness of God. And this is what Peter is getting at as his spiritual secret. This is what he's talking about when he mentions this revelation. It's not just we're Moses and there's this nearness to God and this presence, but there's actually a touch. There's actually like this touch that comes. And I know that sometimes it's hard to understand. So let me put this more in a little bit of earthly tones. Because soon enough, we're going to be in cold and flu season. And oh, God, help me, cold and flu season, right? Because all the people at church with cold and flus come hug Pastor Rick. Just love Jesus for that. And so if you go to your doctor, like I go to my doctor, and then, you have your cough, or he looks at you and goes, oh, you might have strep throat or something. You go, I don't have strep throat. I just, And so then he's going to get a Petri dish out. He's going to open the Petri dish, right? And then he's going to take this really nasty long swab. You know that long swab, And he's not even going to tell you about it, but he's going to stick it in the back of your throat. You know, and he's going to whisk it around like this, you know? And he's done it his whole life. He doesn't really care about you anymore. You know, it's like, he's like, I want to retire. I don't have to do this to people anymore. You know, whisk it around. And then he's going to put it on the Petri dish like that. Boom, he's going to slam it shut. And the nurse is going to come with a big pen. She's going to write your name on it. Off it goes to find out whether you're sick or not. And you're sick, right? You're sick. Okay, so evidence of it. So imagine that you opened up that Petri dish. And imagine you as a healthy person just took your hand and you swabbed that other person's strep throat illness and you put it in your mouth. Never do this, by the way. What would you get? You get strep throat. Okay. You know why? Because medically it's called a contagion. A contagion is that you're actually within the proximity of somebody else who's ill, and then they're able to put their biological illness inside your body so that it starts a chain reaction chemically within your body to actually cause a transformation. So once you were sick, then all of us, you were healthy, excuse me, now you have their illness. Now, reverse that, because that's the way to think about holiness. God's holiness, which is healthy and pure and beautiful and wonderful and glorious and awesome, is a spiritual contagion of salvation for you. It's a relief and a blessing. You have soul sickness. You have mental problems. You have physical issues. So then he allows you to touch the inside of who he is. He is the one who actually places inside you, starting in your soul and spirit, a spiritual chemical reaction that goes to the very soul and inside of who you are, changing everything of your being from top to bottom. Amen? Amen. It's a spiritual contagion. That's what Isaiah is talking about related to God's holiness. From the throne of God, notice that reference in Isaiah, came this touch that's offered to all of us in the new covenant, this touch that started this reaction all the way inside us. Lastly, I want to just mention very quickly Ezekiel 47. I wrestled on this reference. I'm just going to do it very, very fast on the nature of holiness. Because in Ezekiel 47, there's this vision of the temple. And it's a lengthy section. You actually want to read before it and afterwards. And frankly, if you just read Ezekiel cover to cover, you're going to get mind blown. You know, you just read that book, you go, wow, I don't understand it. What was that? So in Ezekiel 47, though, there's the vision of a temple. And the vision of the temple is that there's actually this holiness inside it. And the holiness inside this temple is actually dripping water. It's actually pouring water out. And there's this river that's created, interestingly enough, spiritually, for those of you guys who have the understanding, this water is going to run to the east gate. It's a reference to Adam and Eve, how they had to leave through the east gate, and the temple is oriented that way, and the Savior is going to come back that way. And so this water coming down from the temple, the holiness of God, starts creating this river. And it flows, and it floods the entire Middle East, and it's robust. Now, what's amazing is that the text says that this river is good for food, and that it's there for healing, and that it's actually there for life. And so the temple, this inner place of God, is actually dripping out holiness so you can have food. In the inside of God, he's dripping out holiness so you can have healing. The inside of God is actually dripping out and pouring out so that you can have life itself. This holiness is Peter's spiritual secret, and it's a blessing, and it's a relief, And it does things inside us which are so supernatural. And one of the things that it delivers is a lot of clarity. It delivers lots and lots and lots. Say clarity with me. Because what happens from time to time, I'd say this is kind of a Christian thing, probably amongst yourselves, amongst your friends. It's certainly a pastoral thing that comes my way or to anybody who's in my place of servitude is, Pastor, can I? You know, Pastor, can I? And it's forms of moralism and morality about how close I can go to the line, you know? And so there's sexuality involved with that. There's all kinds of other behaviors. So can I drink? Can I drink? Can I drink? Can I drink? I don't know. Can you? Can't you? I mean, do you gag when you have water or don't you? I don't know. You know, more on the recent time, which actually is a fun story, and I'll just cut the chase on it, but a real big cowboy that I've been trying to witness and get to church and just loving on or whatever, and, you know, so he's got a big dip in his mouth, you know, and just the greatest guy, you know, and he wants to know, can he come to church with chew in his mouth? Oh, I don't know, can you or can't you? You know, I mean, right? So he wants to come pick chew. And I'm looking at it, and I just happen to have cowboy boots on at the same time we're talking. I said, well, bro, here's the deal. If you come to church, you know, come as you are, come as you are. But if you come to church and you put that nasty chew on my boots, I'm coming after you. You know, it's funny. He goes, ah, he starts laughing. He goes, I get that. But, you know, it's just a version of we just, you know, where is that line? And then we just inherently, we want to go to that line of morality and seemingly want to test it. And if not, then just put our toes right on it. You know, I'm not going over that line. I want to step on that line. We ask those questions. Can we? About our sexuality. About our finances. About chew and dip or whatever, you know what I mean, about drinking. You know, we ask that question. So here's how I want you to understand it. Holiness brings about clarity. The problem is that the culture you and I have been raised in gives us constantly conflicting signals. Our culture gives us conflicting signals. Our culture makes it really difficult to try and discern any of this. One example. So if you are keeping up with a very interesting circumstance, there's a plane called the Boeing MAX 737. If you know what this is, the Boeing MAX, it's actually 737 MAX. And so what it is that Boeing, feeling threatened by other plane manufacturers, wanted to create a plane that could be more economical in flight and be more efficient in flight and be more profitable to the airlines. And so they created a plane that was cousin to the 737 proper. They called this a 737 MAX. And they did it in such a way that there'd be no new training required for their pilots. That's a big deal because when you have a new plane, as you'd imagine, you know, it's flying up in the air. It's a little complicated. And so there's little quirks to all the symptoms. So if you got to put all the pilots through training and then they have to go checked off again, that's a big deal. They had promised to the airlines and they promised to the authorities there'll be no new training. This new economic plane will fly bigger, faster, stronger, and more economical, and we won't have any problems, and we don't have to retrain any of the pilots. It'll be the same, except it'll just be that much more efficient. How'd they do? Well, not very well, because they changed it. And I'm not going to describe the technical changes, but they changed it. And they scratched their heads as engineers and said, okay, we're changing things. So here's what we're going to bank on. We know these pilots. These are good pilots. They're so talented. In flight, they'll get the changes. So here's the changes. All right, and this applies to what we're talking about, conflicting signals. When the 737 MAX was in the air, a pilot gets one set of lights going off, which says, take the nose up and go faster. And then to the left, the captain has another set of blinking emergency signals that says, get the nose down and go slower. And in the middle console, it's saying, warning, warning, about to crash and stall. Warning, warning, about to crash and stall. This is a plane that's been up in the air for 30 minutes or less. So the pilots are in the air. On one side is a signal that says, get that nose up, get that nose up, get that nose up. And the co-pilot is saying, I've got a signal that says me to get the nose up and go faster. I have a signal over here that says I've got to get that nose down and go slower. And I got in the middle console and a very serious emergency warning signal that says, I'm about to stall, I'm about to stall, I'm about to stall. And these things are computers that are going like this, warning, stall alert, warning, stall alert. And then another computer from the other side would go, nose up, nose up, nose up, warning, stall alert. And then the other one would be going, nose down, nose down. And so the pilots are there, and they banked everything on those pilots being able to discern those conflicting signals and tap through to find out which one's the right one and keep that plane in the air. Church, how'd they do? Sadly, those planes fell and crashed and took the life literally of every person in them. Holiness. Holiness. We live in a world of conflicting signals. Do we not? We live in a world that says, put your toe on the line. Step over the line. There's nothing to worry about. You know what? You'll figure it out. You'll figure your sexuality out. You'll figure your finances out. You'll figure your careers out. You'll figure your marriage out. You'll figure your parenting out. You'll figure your health out. Just step over the line. And again, how are we all doing? Try not very well. Holiness is that which God puts inside us as his presence that is a gift and a blessing because it says, can I help you out with some really nice clarity? Can I strengthen that which you have to write down, this next word you have to write it down? Can I strengthen this, the Lord says, inside you through my holiness? Can I strengthen your conscience? Your conscience anchored in God's very, very nature and character is a guide. It is the beginning of a guide to where you understand and you know what? I'm done stepping over that line. I'm done stepping on that line. I'm done with those kind of things. I want to go where the psalmist says into a broad place. Psalm says, and over and over and over when you read the psalms, that there's this broad place, there's this broad place. What it means is that you don't have to be on the ledge where you think you're going to fall off. You can come to a flat valley horizon where it's a broad place where you can walk freely. Holiness is a blessing and a relief. Holiness brings about this mental revolution. Holiness draws you closer to God. Holiness will make you rejoice. Holiness will make you rejoice. The section of scripture here, it starts with something like this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is early in the chapter. Right? According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, then he has a little description of this, which is undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, knowing that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in the glory and the praise and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you do not see him now, though you do not see him now, you love him. Though you not see him now, you believe in him, and now to the phrase, and rejoice And as I understand this, Peter is actually dictating this to a guy by the name of Silvanus. He's in a small room. He's in Italy. He's in Rome. He's probably walking around. There's a fire there, and he's looking out a window, and this would be a real small window in a real small place. And he says, "You rejoice, you rejoice." And in my mind, it helps me to think that he's holding on to a mantle. He's looking at the fire, and Silvanus is saying, "Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down." And he goes, "You rejoice, you rejoice with joy inexpressible." And you know what his next phrase is? Filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Holiness is a blessing and a relief. And all those words which I just told you of Scripture precede him saying, okay, well then therefore, holiness is an absolute, absolute blessing and a relief. And it is a joy to behold. And it will work in your life and in my life that God may be glorified. In Jesus' name, can you say it with me?
Amen.
Let's pray. Let me just hold on to a quiet meditation here for a moment. Let us internalize God's holy nature. And so, Father, I pray over your church that your holiness would abide in us. It would be activated and alive in me. It would be activated and alive in us. It would dominate our mental thoughts. It would dominate our souls. It would be seen as a gift to make us happy and joyful. Your holiness, Lord, let it abound in us. And church, just as we're here in a meditation, I want to give you just an image from the Scriptures. This is Mary Magdalene, once was a troubled soul. And at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, she is at this tomb. And she recognizes now and sees Jesus. And John chapter 20 tells us that she is clinging so tightly to him that he tells her, "You have to stop clinging so tightly to me. You have to let me go. I have not yet ascended." She can't hear those words. His glory and his love and his beauty are so outstanding that she just wants to hold on to him. The invitation this morning is that God is asking you to take his hand and let him bring you his holiness. Let him bring it to you. And so, Father, I pray now for that transaction, that burning coal from your throne to touch the very souls and lips and mind and body of everyone here. I pray that your holiness this morning, God, would burn away physical illness. I pray that it would do away with mental illness. I pray that it would deal with all sorrow. And so now, God, let your love flow down. Let your love flow down. Let your love flow down. We bless you now, Jesus. In your name we pray. Can you say it with me? Go ahead and stand up, church. Open that Bible and read it. And do what it says. And you're going to be what?
Blessed.
You're going to be blessed.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.